listening to RadioInfluence.com.
Introducing the world's heavyweight champion, the Crusher.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
Well, welcome to the show. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track. Each week, we connect you with the world of sport performance, keeping you on the cutting edge, and today is no different. As we look at injuries in sport, prevention, and innovative treatments, we're always pushing the limits when it comes to preparing our athletes for sport. But on the medical side, we're also making great advancements in terms of how we treat, assess, and help athletes return to play when an injury does happen. And it's a big part of sport. I think if we really do look at it, the number one issue facing most organizations, well, virtually every organization inside of sport, is injury prevention, especially when we look at the professional ranks. But that trickles down right to little league, minor sports, and recreational sports around the globe. Today, we're going to work in three really important conversations. We'll visit with Dr. Terry DeFreitas, the assistant professor and director of sports medicine at the Glen Sather Sports Medicine Clinic, looking at some innovative treatments and return to play protocols. We're always looking for better ways to get our athletes back and healthy when it comes to injuries, especially those nagging long-term ones. And platelet-rich plasma injections are really growing in popularity as the data and the scientific work come together. There's a real strong body of work pointing to this type of a treatment in a lot of different injury instances. And as a matter of fact, in the last Olympics, it was cleared as an acceptable medical treatment for our Olympic athletes. So great conversation coming up there. We'll also talk to Linda Truong, who is a knee specialist at the Glen Sather Sports Medicine Institute. If we look at the numbers and where the injuries are coming from, look, knees are a real problem area, but there's a lot we can do before the injuries actually happen. And Linda has set up a couple great programs that can help you avoid those injuries. Or if they do happen, these programs can help you recover quicker from a surgery or also return to play quicker. And there's a very interesting program going on called the Knee Fit Program. Doug Gilroy will join us to talk about that. It's all about prevention, preventative medicine, getting to it before it happens. Typically in the past, we sit back and wait for something to happen and then we address it. But we've got to change our mindset. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. When we look at some of the numbers coming out of sport, professional and amateur and recreational, they're alarming. But you'll understand when you read these numbers why prevention for every team at every level of sport and for every athlete. In professional sports, the numbers don't lie, especially when we look at the finances. In 2014, knee injuries cost the NBA $358 million in lost player time, surgeries, and everything associated with those injuries. In the NHL, 50.9% of the players missed at least one game, costing the league over $218 million last year. In Forbes, it was highlighted that in 2015, the top four professional soccer leagues had an average cost due to player injuries of $12.4 million per team. And that equated to a loss of about 10 to 30% of the payroll. Listen, these are big numbers, but there was one number I found coming out of professional sports that really made me stop and pause and rethink what's going on. According to a major source, the overall injury cost in Major League Baseball in 2014 was $1.4 billion. $1.4 billion. And, you know, when we look at the increase in arm injuries and shoulder injuries at the professional level, it's alarming. There's something going on and it needs to be corrected because these numbers are trickling down into recreational and minor sports. In fact, according to the Center for Disease Control, since 2000, there's been a five-fold increase in the number of serious shoulder and elbow injuries to young baseball and softball players. So you can see this isn't just isolated to the professional levels of sport. It's happening right at the grassroots levels. We need to talk about prevention. So look at this number. Although 62% of organized sports-related injuries occur during practice, one-third of the parents and coaches don't have their children take the same safety precautions at practice than they would during a game, which means, you know what? what? We suit up, we get our equipment on, we follow the rules, we don't do anything dangerous, we warm up properly for our games, but we're not doing it for our practices. 62% of the injuries we're seeing in minor sports are happening in practice. Just absolutely not acceptable. We're all also very familiar with the concentration and concern about head injuries in sport, and we've come a long way. We've got great systems now, we've got great assessment tools, and I think everybody's more aware than they were even 2 or 3 years ago. But here's an interesting stat. Sports and recreational activities make up 21% of all traumatic brain injuries in children, and almost 50% of head injuries sustained in sport or recreational activities occur during bicycling, skateboarding, and skating incidents, though we're really focused on football and hockey and soccer. So we got to take a really holistic approach when it comes to prevention, and there's some pretty scary numbers that just sort of reinforce why the conversations we're having around injury and injury prevention are so, so important. So let's get into it. We're joined now by Linda Truong, lead physiotherapist for the knee clinics at the Glenn Sather Sports Medicine Institute. Linda, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, in order for everybody to enjoy sport, you have to be able to play sport. In order to play sport, you got to be pretty healthy. And we know that one of the number one priorities out there is injury prevention, which is one of your specialties, especially when we look at knees and knee health.
So we know that as more adolescents start playing sports, we have seen an increase in knee injuries over the years. So just in Canada alone and in Alberta, we have seen in 2014 more than 31,000 sport-related injuries, knee injuries. And so this leads us to try to implement an injury prevention program to help prevent these knee injuries even before they occur.
Well, knee injury and prevention is key, but knee injuries, boy, you wouldn't think they're so common, but that's an alarming number. Why do you guys think it's happening now at this rate?
I think that a lot of people are becoming more active, so at a young age.
Which is a good trend, I guess, right? That's a great trend.
Yep, and they want to participate in sports. We don't want to discourage young adolescents to participate in sports, but we want to make sure that they know how to move properly, because something that we've been noticing is that a lot of these young athletes just don't have the proper movement mechanics to play that sport successfully.
Isn't it interesting? Because movement would seem like such a fundamental, natural thing, but it's actually not. It's been sort of the basis of this prevention, injury prevention, and you know, maximum performance conversation for a number of years. But movement is something that needs to be taught.
Mm-hmm. And so just like if we wanted to train someone to sprint quickly, we work on running form. So same thing with soccer or football. We need to teach them how to move properly, whether it's running, sprinting, catching, or jumping. We need to teach everybody how to do this correctly.
And so what does that look like? What kind of mistakes are you seeing, and what kind of mistakes, I guess, are leading to these severe injuries you're dealing with?
One thing that we have seen over the years is that a lot of our athletes are just not strong enough to do these movements. So we don't mean by going to the gym and having to lift heavy weights, but we find that they're just not strong to be able to do a squat or to do a jump and land properly because their muscles aren't strong enough. The other thing is some people just have genetics where they're predisposed to certain movement patterns. So if they run, they like to run with their knees touching, or we call it knocked knees. And so these types of biomechanics leads to more injuries.
We're talking with Linda Truong, the knee coordinator at the PRAC Center. Tell us a bit about the PRAC Center. This is a really interesting program, and I like the concept of this.
So the PRAC stands for Prevention and Return to Activity Center, and it is a way that we can deliver a program to everybody to teach them not only to develop adequate strength to do the sport they like to do, but to also learn to move properly. So how do you run straight, or how do you stop suddenly? How do you land from a jump? Because it sounds like very simple movements, but we have seen a lot of our patients just struggle to do this, and they don't get the consistent feedback whether they're doing it properly. And so we run the program, it's twice a week, to make sure that they're getting enough repetitions so that it becomes normal to them.
Well, we talk about something like the FIFA 11 Plus program and how powerful and successful that's been. I'm interested to see that other sports take this on. I know we do very similar things with our pro athletes, but again, that's just a small group of athletes that we have access to. So to have something like the FIFA 11 impact an entire sport, that's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm. And so we know that the FIFA 11 plus decreases the risk of injury. There's been many studies proving that. But the problem right now is how do we get every organization to deliver that program? And so one of the things about our PRAC is our PRAC Center, we pretty much are doing portions of that FIFA 11 so that everybody can learn how to do it properly. And so the other thing is FIFA is quite catered to soccer, which is not a bad thing. But if you're a football player, you need a program, a prevention program that's catered to football. And so the PRAC is, the programs are catered to a preventative program, but to your sport. So whether it's hockey, soccer, golf, we try to individualize it using the same, the concepts from FIFA 11 plus.
Which makes entirely great sense because the demands of each sport are so different. We're talking with Linda Truong, the lead physiotherapist for the knee injury clinics at the Glenn Sather Sports Medicine Institute, and the knee coordinator for the FAST program, which is another great innovation you guys have over there.
Mm-hmm. So the FAST stands for our Functional Agility and Strength Training, which means that it's a program that will help develop strength, but also teach you the agility, the coordination, and the movement patterning for whatever sport that you want to return to. It's geared towards anybody that's had a knee injury. You could be waiting for surgery or had surgery, and we just kind of categorize you into what level that's appropriate for you. And it's meant to return you to your sport safely, but to teach you how to prevent an injury, because there's no point in going back to a sport and re-injuring your knee within a month or within a year. We want to make sure you go back and are successful for many years.
And that's a very important concept, Linda, because I think a lot of athletes tend to rush back or they neglect a progressive return to play program and just jump back in when they feel like they're ready. And man, that's a danger signs going up all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And we see it at the pro level and at the recreational level. We're always very eager to return back to sport very quickly. But I think the biggest component of our FAST program is the education, because we need to not only address the physical, but we also have to address the psychological of the sport as well. And sometimes that gets neglected in our rehab with all these knee injuries.
Well, I think you mentioned something really interesting here. It's not just for people who have had injuries or that are recovering from a surgery, but also people who might be waiting for a surgery. To prepare for a surgery is incredibly important, and it can also help with the recovery post-surgery.
Mm-hmm. We know that a big predictor of success after surgery is strength and how much they invested preoperatively to redevelop the strength they've lost. And so our program encourages them to consistently strengthen their leg, but also to avoid positions that might injure their knee, and also to kind of address some of the psychological fears of maybe if you have a knee injury, not trying to strength train because you're scared you're going to re-injure it, so which will lead to potentially a worse outcome after surgery. We have found that if you put in a lot of effort to strengthen your leg before surgery, your outcome is significantly improved afterwards.
So you could even start this, you know, post-injury. So you're injured, you're waiting for your surgery. You can be in there being very proactive pre-surgery, so your recovery goes that much better.
Mm-hmm. So most people can enter this program 4 to 6 weeks after they sustain a knee injury. So instead of waiting 6 months for your surgery, doing nothing, it's better to start strengthening, and it can be done very quickly. People are usually really surprised that they can start doing strength training actually at 6 weeks, even with weights.
Well, it's very interesting. We're talking with Linda Truong, the lead physiotherapist for the knee clinics at the Glenn Sather Sports Medicine Institute. In our programs, when our athletes get, this is what we say to our athletes, you have 90 seconds to feel sorry for yourself, to be mad and frustrated, and then it's time to get after it. We start strategically planning during the rehab phase how we can help them become better athletes while we're, you know, dealing with the injury, getting it assessed, getting it dealt with, and then we're returning to play with the idea that you return to play in a better place than before you were injured. And that's kind of what you're talking about here, and that can happen at every level of sport.
Mm-hmm. So I think that we hear all the time in the media about the pro athletes, but that can definitely happen at the recreational or amateur level. And so our goal for this program was to offer the care that we see at a pro level or even at a varsity level, but for everybody. So that's why it's reasonable, and We have a strength and conditioning coach and a physical therapist that's always present to make sure that, one, it's safe for your knee, but also that you're getting that consistent care that you might only get if you were at a varsity level.
Right. Well, you know, you talked about some stats earlier on, which were quite alarming when you think of the big picture, and that's just in our little area here. But if you go globally or even just in North America, these numbers grow exponentially. In the NBA last year, for example, there was $358 million spent or lost because of knee injuries alone, and that's at the highest level with athletes who are well taken care of. So we can imagine what happens at the recreational level when people are just out there having fun. Is there a group that might be more susceptible or a type of athlete that's more susceptible to knee injuries that we should be aware of? Because I think, you know, if we properly define the problem, we've got a good shot at preventing it.
Mm-hmm. So we know that the most common sports that we see these knee injuries are sports that require a lot of planting and pivoting, so running and changing direction, running and slowing down really quickly, and those sports will include soccer, basketball, and football, because, and depending on your position. So these sports is, these patients or participants are the ones that we see the most injuries, especially for ACL injuries. And so that is why we kind of cater towards those groups, but it could be at any group. And so if you play soccer, we want to try to start identifying at a very young age, do you move properly? Because if you're 14 years old and we can pick up on movements that might lead to a knee injury, we can prevent an injury. The tough thing is catching them early.
Yeah, and it all comes down to movement. Linda, very good stuff. This is a great program, the PRAC Center and the FAST program, and of course, the research and studies you guys are doing to help, you know, future prevention. If people do want to get more information, is there somewhere they can go?
They can access our website at the uafa.ualberta.ca/Glenn-Slater-Clinic. Or it's very lengthy, or they can just Google Glenn Slater Clinic.
I like it.
That's a lot easier. Or they can actually talk to our coordinator, Laura. They can call her at 780-407-5178, and she can answer their questions, give them more details about the program, and if they're interested, even book them to be assessed to see if they're appropriate for the program.
There you go, a fantastic conversation with Linda Truong, the lead physiotherapist for the knee clinics at the Glenn Sather Sports Medicine Institute. When we come back, let's look at innovative treatments. There's a lot of things happening in sports medicine and the medical sciences that are not only helping athletes prevent injuries, but also recover from injuries and return to play quicker. We'll talk with Dr. Terry DeFreitas right after this on Crush Performance. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Each week, we look at the latest trends and research coming out of the performance world to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it takes to achieve human maximum performance. And athletes, now you can do just that as Crush Performance presents the Sport Matrix, the program for top performance in sport. For more information, go to crushperformance.com and join us Wednesday evenings at 7, Saturdays at 4. We're here to help you think like an athlete.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crochelle. If you want to get to us with any questions, comments, or smart remarks, please do so. Crushperformance.com is the handle on the internet. At Jeff Crush, if you want to follow us on Twitter. And if you are on Facebook, join us in the Talent Grid, my new group on Facebook. So as we continue our discussion on injuries in sport, injury prevention, and innovative treatments, we're joined now by Dr. Terry DeFreitas, the Assistant Professor and Director of Sports Medicine at the Glenn Sather Sports Medicine Clinic. Dr. DeFreitas, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're excited about this conversation as we look at the sporting industry, from the little duffers on the field and on the ice and on the pitches right up to the pro leagues. Injury prevention is becoming more and more a priority just in terms of enjoyment in sport and at the professional levels. Well, when we look at the dollar signs up there, it's a big industry for sure. But there's a lot of things that need to be done, I guess, maybe just in general when we look at injuries. And that's something you guys specialize in. When an athlete has an injury, Dr. DeFreitas, is there sort of a standard procedure a parent, a coach, or an athlete can sort of follow to make sure they go through the process accordingly?
Well, for sure, if the injury's already occurred, they certainly need to access medical help in terms of assessment. But in terms of prevention, we like to think of prevention in several different areas. So one is the rules and adhering to the rules of the sport, because a lot of those rules are actually made to prevent injury, such as taking risks and hitting people from behind rules. Those protect people and prevent injury. Then there's the aspect of your individual motion and how you would move safely within the sport rather than taking risks or putting your head down and into the boards in hockey or sticking your leg out in soccer in an unsafe way. And then finally, the other prevention piece that sports medicine is really increasing its activity in is strength and conditioning programs that help athletes in a specific sport prevent the injuries that are common to those sports. And those type of programs can really improve your general movement and improve the chances of preventing injury. So the one particular program that's a good example is the FIFA 11 Plus, and that is a strength conditioning and warm-up program developed for youth athletes, and it's been shown to reduce knee injuries by almost 30%.
Well, that's a big number. When we talk about injuries in sport, 30% is a gigantic number. And for everybody who doesn't know, the FIFA 11 is sort of a standardized warm-up program that teams would do before practices and games. And it's proven to be very, very powerful. I wonder why, Dr. DeFreitas, other sports don't adopt, you know, sort of, I guess, procedures like the FIFA 11 Plus.
Well, I think it's coming. I think that FIFA, as an international organization, has a lot of medical resources, and they're really devoted to research in the football / soccer world. So they have a great avenue to go by. I think the other sports are coming along, certainly in hockey. There's research going on here in Alberta right now about factors which may lead to why some kids get 3 concussions and other kids get none. Is it the way they play? That's certainly something we have to ask ourselves. And then if it is the way they play, how can we teach them in a warm-up program or in a coaching venue program to reduce their risks of injury?
We're talking with Dr. Terry DeFreitas, assistant professor and the director of sports medicine at the Glenn Sather Sports Medicine Clinic. Well, prevention is key, but unfortunately, injuries do happen. And as you mentioned, for a number of reasons, it could be a traumatic experience like a crash into the boards or a collision on the field with another player. It could also be a slip or an awkward movement. There's also the idea of overuse injuries, Dr. DeFreitas, and also the consequences of early specialization, burnout, and overuse. And this is becoming, I think, more and more prevalent in sport because I think we're seeing a trend where athletes are specializing earlier and earlier and not getting that, you know, I guess that sampling period that we normally had back in the day of a multitude of sports.
Oh, absolutely. I think that when you do specialize and only train in one sport all season long, you are at higher risk for these chronic injuries, tendinopathies. And a great example is little leaguers' elbows. So these kids are pitching, and injuring their elbows. And now in many leagues in the state, there's actually a pitch count where the young athlete is not allowed to pitch beyond that number because it is such a common chronic injury. So there's a lot of motion to involve athletes in cross training, other sports, to prevent these injuries that are related to repetitive motion and early specialization.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. We're talking with Dr. Terry DeFreitas from the Glenn Sather Sports Medicine Clinic. Well, we're also talking about innovative treatments. And as, I guess, our knowledge increases in terms of the human body and physiology, sports medicine is plowing on at lightning fast speeds. They've really come a long ways when we look at the surgeries, the treatments, and preventative medicine as well. But I'm very interested to talk to you today about the PRP treatment, the platelet-rich plasma injection, which is taking the sports world by storm. We're seeing professional athletes doing it. We're seeing recreational athletes doing it. Maybe for our audience, we can explain what this is, Dr. DeFreitas.
Sure. So platelet-rich plasma is a component of the person's own blood. So this is called the concept behind platelet-rich plasma is this is your own body's blood, and it's under the category of regenerative medicine. So it's not, you know, it's not synthetic by any means. It's your own blood. And the theory behind it is that inside the components of your blood, the platelets actually have some key growth factors that are active in healing, and we know that from various studies. And so the concept of platelet-rich plasma is we extract the platelet-rich plasma, get rid of the red blood cells, and get rid of the watery part of the blood, and then you concentrate the platelets 4 to 6 times and then re-inject them into the abnormal tendon. So what we've found in our clinic is that this is a really good application for a chronic tendon problem, so tendinopathy, tendinosis, which is a little bit different than an acute sudden injury.
So, Dr. DeFreitas, the PRP treatment would be geared more towards the muscle, soft tissue, the connective tissue, the tendons, ligaments sort of an approach?
Yeah, we did a big study here, and we found that it is one of the good options for tendinopathy. So, again, this would be somebody with a repetitive injury, hasn't improved for months despite rest, despite physical therapy, and it just doesn't seem to go away. And it's one of those things where the tendon is permanently changed. It's the tendon isn't inflamed, but it is become thickened. It has calcifications in it, perhaps, and it's painful to use over a long period of time. Those are the ones that we find the PRP is useful for. And there are other applications of PRP, which I should probably say that our experience is mostly the tendon experience. It is being used in other fields. And again, the research is coming. But for us, as far as our studies have shown, is that there is an improvement in pain and function after these treatments for tendinopathy-type injuries.
We're talking with Dr. Terry DeFreitas, Assistant Professor and Director of Sports Medicine at the Glenn Saylor Sports Medicine Clinic. Well, PRP was put on the approved treatment list by the IOC and WADA for the last Olympics. So it's got clearance there. It's not something like we're injecting a hormone, or it's very different from a cortisone shot as well, which people might be more familiar with. This is extracting your own blood, separating it through a centrifuge, and then re-injecting it into the damaged area. I really like this concept.
Yeah, exactly, Jeff. It's what we do is, of course, we identify the area. You can identify the area with ultrasound clinical exam. And what we find with PRP is we do have access to ultrasound-guided injections at this clinic. And so we can actually target the exact defect in the tendon and put the patient's own platelet-rich plasma into that area after we use local anesthetic, of course. And then we have a protocol of 3 weeks of a certain low-level exercises, and then we send them back to physical therapy. And over the course of 6 to 12 weeks, the physio continues, and then we get them back on track for their activity.
So what is its success rate here, Dr. DeFreitas? So, for example, I am a sufferer of long-term Achilles tendonitis, bilateral too, on both sides, and it is deadly. Some days I can't even walk. So I would assume I'm a classic potential patient for this type of a treatment.
Yeah, for sure, it's one of the options. When somebody comes into our clinic that has something like that that's been bothering for years, we try and analyze the whole picture. So is it because they never went to physical therapy? Is it because they went to physical therapy once Or perhaps they really didn't do the exercises, or it's just that their job or their work is so demanding on them that there's very little success rate. The other thing that we always think about is the patient's medical conditions involved. So certainly people with diabetes struggle more with tendinopathies, and there are some other medical conditions as well. So when we see a patient, we don't offer them the PRP outright. We like to figure out, is this the best treatment for them? So if we decide with the patient after our clinical exam that the platelet-rich plasma is in fact the best treatment option for them, we explain to them that it may provide pain relief and benefit, but we know that it has to be partnered with the post-procedure physical therapy for it to be really effective.
I guess kind of like anything else, it's not a Band-Aid treatment. It helps assist in the process of returning people to safe play. What would be the success rate of the PRP? I've heard great things.
Well, it depends on how you analyze it. And this is the criticism of platelet-rich plasma research. Everyone who has done these studies, they're using different measures. We use visual analog scales, so a scale of how the person's pain was post-procedure and how their activity improved. And for a lot of people, their visual analog scale of pain went down by several points. And also, most of the patients reported an improvement in activity level. We also, in our smaller study, did a follow-up MRI, and some of the patients in that study actually had improvements in the MRI images of the damaged area. The problem with that study is we only had less than 10 people, so it doesn't really hold a lot of statistical weight. But we offer it as an option. For some people, it doesn't seem to help, and we're still in the process of figuring out when is the best time to do it. Is it at the 3-month mark, the 6-month mark, and in what conditions is it absolutely the best? And I think the whole world is trying to figure this out. We know that for tennis elbow, there's some pretty good evidence. We've had some fairly good results with Achilles and shoulder injuries at our clinic, but again, it's not an absolute, clear, fully evidence-based procedure at this point.
But you're saying I have a chance.
Yeah. You know,
I like it. We're talking with Dr. Terry DeFreitas, Assistant Professor and Director of Sports Medicine at the Glenn Sather Sports Medicine Clinic. Well, I like it. I'm telling you right now, being a sufferer of Achilles tendonitis, anything, because I have tried everything under the sun. Mm-hmm. I've done the treatments. Mm-hmm. And of course, my job being the strength and conditioning coach for the Toronto Blue Jays, I never had time to recover. And it just got to a point where I can't shake it now. So I'm all in. I'm going to give it a whirl and see if it might wipe it out for sure. If people wanted more information, I guess even before I go there, Dr. DeFreitas, is there an age limit on this treatment?
No. In fact, we've done it. One of my older athletes was in the Masters games, and we had very good success. And that person was close to 80. We have done it in certain cases, as long as they're not on anti-inflammatories and they don't have to be on aspirin for other medical conditions for 14 days, we would go ahead as long as we think that's probably the best option for them, looking at all the other factors.
Right. If people wanted to get more information about this and see if this might be a fit for them, where can they get some information, Dr. DeFreitas?
Well, we have a little bit on our website, certainly, and what we recommend is it is a complex decision-making model that we use, so mm-hmm. we recommend that if you're interested in the procedure, that you get a referral to come and talk to one of our physicians about it, because it's not like you could tick off a bunch of boxes and decide that absolutely this is the best procedure for you. It's best a decision discussed with your physician, because it is, there's so many factors in each individual case that it's best to have that kind of formal talk about it.
Absolutely understood. But what a great option for a lot of people out there who could potentially benefit from it. Dr. DeFreitas, thanks so much for your time today. We'll look forward to touching base with you again.
Okay, thank you.
We have to cut out for a quick break, but when we come back, we'll have one more kick at the prevention can. We'll talk with Doug Gilroy of The Bridge about their innovative ACL injury prevention program called KneeFit, right after this on Crush Performance. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kershaw, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back. Once again, thanks for joining us. We are your weekly source for sports performance and athletic development information. I am Jeff Kershaw. Connor's behind the glass, keeping us on track. And today, we continue our discussion on injury prevention, and innovative treatments in sport. One of the number one priorities at every single level of sport is injury prevention. In professional sport, it's to keep the top players on the field so you have a chance to win. In minor league sport, it's to keep athletes healthy so they can continue to play and enjoy sport and maybe play sport for life. Here's what we know about injuries in sport. One of the main reasons athletes never reach their potential is because of injury. Lost time due to injury, missing critical periods of development due to injury, missing competition because of injury, opportunities because of injury. So prevention becomes one of the main priorities in all of sport. And today's discussions have been revolving around that. Sometimes the simplest things are the most powerful things. In our hierarchy of sport performance, our top priority is rest and recovery. And inside of that, again, is sleep. If we know that our athletes are getting enough recovery and rest between work periods, and if we're getting enough sleep, we know we can reduce injuries. Listen, it's not about how much work we can do. The body can handle a tremendous amount of work, and it's not that we overwork. It's more often than not that we under recover. So recovery is one of our top priorities. And then nutrition, number two. There's no question nutrition doesn't only influence performance outcomes, it also really has an impact on our ability to prevent injuries. Then we have posture. We know that a lot of injuries are due to muscle imbalances, limited range of motion, overuse injuries. So posture becomes a really important facet in terms of injury prevention. And then, of course, movement. You have to know how to move properly. More and more programs out there are focusing on fundamental movement patterns as one of the key components to preventing injuries, and it's absolutely true. And we're joined right now by Doug Gilroy, physiotherapist, founder at Sherwood Park Sports Physiotherapy Clinic and The Bridge, and one of the creators of a very unique ACL injury prevention program called KneeFit. Doug, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Well, you are the founder and owner of a clinic, and your vision years and years ago was to sort of bring in an all-inclusive treatment, return to play kind of a concept to the sporting world. And I really like that. And, you know, as we look at the sort of development and I guess the knowledge that we now have in terms of injury prevention and injuries and return to play, it's all kind of come full circle in this package deal. And you guys have a fantastic program there called the KneeFit program. Maybe give us a little outline of what that program's all about.
Yeah, sure. Basically, we were getting frustrated seeing so many young athletes come into our clinic with the ACL tear, and it became basically epidemic. So Melissa Prokop, another physio here, and I put together our own injury prevention program. Basically, it's a warm-up, and it's designed to strengthen the core and train the body with lower extremity plyometrics, balance exercises, agility exercises. But we want to teach athletes how to land, run, and cut to avoid injury or stress to the ACL.
And I like the idea that you guys are incorporating that into a warm-up, because that's something they can work on and practice and develop every single day throughout practicing or competing.
Yeah, for sure. The main thing is technique, because we see teams using different warm-ups and different techniques and different programs that are out there, but if they're not taught the proper technique, we find that it's even making the problem worse. So we actually end up spending time working with teams that come into the facility. We'll spend a half an hour doing a PowerPoint presentation, teaching them how the ACL tears, the mechanism of injury, showing them the exact way it goes, and then we do a video analysis of them jumping off a step. We look at that, we freeze frame it, draw lines and angles on it, and then they get to see their own body movements, how the knee is reacting to the stress of a deceleration. And then we spend about an hour after that teaching the coaches and the players how to do the proper warm-up.
We're joined by Doug Gilroy, founder and owner of Sherwood Park Sport Physiotherapy and The Bridge in Sherwood Park. Doug, I really like the idea that you guys are using video feedback. It's so valuable for athletes to see what they're doing. It's one thing to talk to them. We know that's not the best way to make the connection sometimes, but with the coaching, the video, and then the feedback going into the program, it's good for an athlete to have an understanding of why they're doing something in terms of an outcome and injury prevention or performance.
Yeah, we find that when the athletes see these injuries, we show them video clips, we get a complete buy-in. So the coach doesn't have to worry about trying to nag the players to do the warm-up properly. They're buying in and they're asking the coach to watch them and make sure that their form is correct.
Do you find, Doug, that the coaches are the key here? It's one thing for an athlete to come in and see you guys, but we do know the power of the coaches. And that's why I think, you know, in Canada and the United States, there's been such an emphasis on really trying to educate and giving the coaches the resources they need to help the players achieve in sport. So I really like the angle that you guys are, you know, taking in terms of educating coaches on how to do these warm-ups properly.
We would love to see these organizations like volleyball, basketball, soccer, team handball, bring us in to teach the coaches. We do the team training, but we also do coaches training. So we'll have a group of coaches, anywhere up to 40 coaches come in, and then we teach them how to teach it to their team. So we can try to educate the coaches as much as possible.
We're talking with Doug Gilroy from the Sherwood Park Sports Physiotherapy Clinic. Doug, I really like this. You know, the old adage, you know, you can either give them fish or teach them to fish, and that's kind of what you're talking about here.
Absolutely. Once we get the players organized and do the warm-up properly, they can kind of take it on their own. And they're usually pretty responsible if they've been taught properly.
So, Doug, let me ask you this. When the athletes do their movement patterns, what kind of drills are you having them do, and what are you asking them to look for?
Well, we have four parts to the program. First is a warm-up, and it's fairly general, getting the heart rate going, the blood circulating. And then the second part is where we get into the core, and we start to train them on just building strength in the glutes and the abdominal area. Then we get them into more functional training, where we're doing some plyos with jumps and landings. From 2 foot, we build them up into single foot. And then we finish it off at the end with more functional running and training, where we're doing cutting at cones, running forward, backpedaling, and stops and starts, learning how to decelerate properly.
Isn't it interesting? All of those things you talked about, you would think just would be natural kind of movements, right? But there is an art to the movement, and it's not as simple as it first might seem.
No, and sometimes it's because they're playing one sport too early in age, focusing on it, that they get patterns just sort of predominant for that sport in particular. But they'll end up. But it's amazing how many times we'll see dysfunctions and breakdowns in their movement patterns, and they've just naturally developed them.
When athletes do specialize early, it becomes even more important to get all of these movement patterns built into the athlete development program, because they don't get these experiences by playing other sports, and it's a big problem that we're seeing right now. And I think one of the reasons we're having a lot of injuries, and also why kids are dropping out.
Absolutely. The long-term athlete development programs on most of the sports are really emphasizing that they don't specialize till about age 14.
Exactly. So what kind of athletes are you guys working with right now?
Well, we see, geez, everybody from the martial arts to soccer, handball, basketball, just a whole variety. As far as the knee fit, we see a ton of soccer players. We see a lot of basketball, and we see the team handball. They're the high-risk sports for it. But we see, as far as training movement patterns, equestrian to synchro swimmers we have in here to some martial arts to triathletes, so we see everything.
Yeah, we're talking with Doug Gilroy from the Sherwood Park Sports Physiotherapy Clinic. Doug, you know, we look at prevention. We look at the numbers in sport, the number of injuries that are coming out of sport now, and the cost of the healthcare system. If we look to pro sports, we know that one of the top priorities in every single organization in every sport right now is injury prevention. And that comes down, of course, as you mentioned, to having that balance, you know, the posture and proper movement patterns. There's always going to be injuries, of course, and there's a procedure for that as well. So when an athlete comes to you guys with an injury, what do you recommend the process be, you know, for parents and coaches and athletes who are listening right now who maybe haven't gone through an injury? Do you guys sort of have a step-by-step procedure you guys use?
Well, we start with acute care. So if they have an injury, we have to deal with the acute part of it, the swelling, the loss of range of motion. And we'll slowly work through the acute phase into the subacute phase where we're starting to build range of motion and strength back into the injury, into the limb or to the into the core. And then we'll start to work into more functional movement patterns after that. So that's where our new clinic, The Bridge, has, we're emphasizing more, not just trying to rehab them back to where they have full range of motion, full strength, and no pain, but actually take them further than that, where they're ready to go back to their sport. And if they have been injured, usually there's some kind of dysfunction or breakdown. And we have to try and take them past where they were when they got hurt, because those deficiencies might be where they ended up getting hurt in the first place.
Yeah, Doug, you guys have some great resources online. If people want to get more information about your KneeFit program, your movement program, your athlete development program, how can they do it?
Our website, SherwoodParkPhysio.com, is a good place to start. And if anyone's interested in the KneeFit program, KneeFit@SherwoodParkPhysio.com, any one of those, and then we'll take care of them at that point.
Doug, thank you, and thank you for joining us tonight. I also want to thank Dr. Terry DeFreitas for joining us and Linda Throng from the Glen Sather Sports Medicine Clinic. And I want to thank you for listening. Next week on the show, it is springtime and there's baseball in the air. We're going to talk performance cultures, leadership, and training championship players with Crush favorite, the third base and infield coach for the Los Angeles Dodgers, Chris Woodward. And we'll also be joined by the Dodgers' new vice president of baseball operations, Alex Anthopoulos, to talk about his approach to putting together a championship team. So stay tuned. We're talking high-performance baseball on Crush Performance next week. We'll talk to you then.
Radio Influence strives to bring you the best in digital media broadcasting. We have something for everyone. National sports radio talents like the Fabulous Sports Babe and Rich Herrera. Huge podcasts like Wrestling Soup and the MMA Insiders with Jason Floyd and Sam Kaplan. News and current event shows like Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill. And shows that'll make you think like Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger. We've got you covered. You can find all our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.